Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. This very fine Monday, July 29th, 2013. We're going to be talking about Congress. We're going to be talking about the debt limit. We're going to talk about the bonds, and we're going to talk about donations, helping to help the poor. So make sure you stay tuned. Lots coming your way. But first, we're going to get to the way of precious metals. We have gold today. It's currently trading down 380 at 1331. You have silver down 13 cents today at 1996. However, platinum and palladium both were stronger today. Platinum was up 11 bucks at $1,445, along with palladium up 15 at $746. The USDX today is trading vaguely stronger, 0.02 at 81.67. And we also have crude oil trading down just a quarter, 0.25 at 104.45. Paper markets today. Stocks fell just a little bit. There's a Fed meeting for Tuesday. Ah, we're back to the Fed meeting. Are we or aren't we? Are we going to taper or aren't we going to taper? And if the economy improves or if it doesn't improve, we'll add more. I mean, it's the same old. And then, of course, we also have a jobs report coming up. So it'll be an interesting week. You had the Dow drop 35 points at 15,522, along with the NASDAQ down 14. 35.99. The S&P down 6 at 16.85. The 10-year yield today was up 0.02 at 2.58%. If you have any questions for today's program, make sure you direct those two questions at dgscoins.com. Questions at dgscoins.com. Howdy, Al. Hello, Al.
Hello, Melody. To taper or not to taper, that is the question. Huh? Whether 'tis nobler to bend the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or to take action by printing more fictional money. That's the question that's facing our little Hamlet, also known as Ben Bernanke, and we'll see how it works out.
And that's the other thing we're going to be hearing for the next how many months. who's going to replace Bernanke? Is it going to be Yellen or is it going to be Summers? And oh my gosh, the drama of it all.
Well, the drama, I don't know. There's a lot more, but there's more cause for drama than who's going to replace him. It will be, it'll be interesting, but it's kind of interesting to see who even would dare to take the job. We're not getting into better circumstances. They have to know Bernanke wasn't really able to handle the problem. He's been able to postpone a collapse. He's been able to prevent things from getting dramatically worse, and he deserves credit for that. That's the truth. But he certainly hasn't engineered a recovery. And it's pretty good evidence that no one is going to engineer a recovery. The tools probably don't exist at the Federal Reserve to do so. So we're left to wonder, would you want to take the job? I mean, if they offer me the job, if the pay is right, I want you to understand that if they offer me the job, I'll probably take it, Melody.
Well, you know, what kind of a job is it? No, you go in there and you only do what you're told to do anyway.
Well,
so,
you have to make
you're just
that are mostly incomprehensible.
Yeah.
You have to say things from time to time.
I can do that. I can do that. What's interesting, I saw an article today, China launches an audit as debt worries grow. China has a government debt problem. But they don't know. Yeah, but they don't know exactly what is lurking on the books of local and provincial governments.
Yep.
But what I find interesting about this, I mean, they come out and they actually admit that they have
what? Government? What are you talking about?
A shadow banking.
Shadow banking. Well, you know, I've heard the premier of China, and I don't recall his name, but just in the last 12 months, I've read an article where he's complaining that he doesn't really know what's going on in the individual provinces in China. And we've talked about this on the program in the past, and it has to do with the Chinese culture and their desire to maintain harmony. And that means they will lie. It's part of their culture to lie and tell people whatever it is the people want to hear in order to maintain harmony. So the head of the different provinces, the heads of the different provinces out in China, they will routinely lie to the premier of China about the economic circumstances within their province. And they will lie to make it seem better than what it actually is. And he can't find out. He's the premier of China, and he doesn't know. He doesn't know. In this country, the government at least knows what's going on in the economy. They lie about it, but they at least know. In China, they don't really even know. And you have to sit back and say, well, how are they going to hold that together, and how is that economy going to function when everyone is lying to each other?
This is the third effort in so many years to try and take the pulse of their debt problem. Mm-hmm. And they say that what will happen is the central banks will bail out these local governments, but that means they could be on the hook for trillions and trillions of dollars.
Yeah, I understand.
And so...
Well, you see, they'll be in a position perhaps, worse comes to worse, their debt problem could do great damage to the Chinese economy. That's possible. We don't know the dimension of the debt. Maybe yes, maybe no. But if the debt can't be paid, they won't have paper assets to use to rebuild their economy. But given all the gold that they've been importing over the past couple of years, they will have physical assets to rebuild the economy just in case the debt gets so great they have to declare a fairly widespread bankruptcy or a series of bankruptcies in China. Well, I'm not going to argue that that's the reason they've been importing all that gold, but it may be one of the benefits, at least. We'll watch and see.
Maybe that is also a way for them to eliminate a lot of their U.S. dollar holdings, too, but don't know.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting. I thought this was interesting. Britain demands bonds for visas. It just caught my attention. They're going to demand a £3,000, which relates to about $4,600 US, a refundable bond for visas for high-risk visitors from six former colonies in Africa and Asia. Six countries would be Nigeria, Ghana, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka. And citizens of those countries applied for more than a 500,000 visas to Britain last year. And I just thought that was interesting. And it's like that you would think that would be more of a common practice.
You think that what would be more of a common practice? Charging a bond for people entering your country?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly intended to discourage people from coming to visit, and I think the real reason they're doing that, I'm only guessing, but the real reason they're doing it is because probably too many people from those countries, once they get across the border and they get into England, it may be that they just disappear into the local communities, the Pakistan, the Nigerian communities, whatever, and they just become illegal aliens within within England, and they're trying to prevent the illegal aliens from entering by putting a tax on it, or at least making them take a bond. And I think that's a great idea, Melody. I think we should have someone along the border with Mexico. We can have. Wait a second. Now, do wetbacks have a bond? Do illegal aliens have a bond? We need a bond, $4,500. You know. And then go ahead. You can go on into the country, but you got to come up with that bond. I think it makes a certain amount of sense.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't see how they're ever going to enforce it, but who can tell? Maybe England will show the way.
Maybe. But, of course, you're absolutely correct. It is about overstaying on their visas and recovering costs of foreign nationals using public services like hospitals and schools. So, yeah. Here's something else, too. Just something out of Michigan. State regulators have approved a 99-cent monthly fee to help Michigan residents pay their energy bills and avoid a shutoff. And this charge applies to all customers starting in September unless a utility opts out of the program. The Michigan Public Service Commission says only a few so far have declined to participate. The money will be passed to the state of Michigan, which will help low-income residents pay their bills and avoid losing electricity, natural gas, or propane, mostly in winter and early spring. If the utility opts out of the program, it can't cut off power between November and April 15th. And of Michigan's largest utilities, DTE Energy Company and Consumers Energies, they do plan to participate. What bothers me about this is here you're paying 99 cents to your utility company, but the part that disturbs me is it goes to the state of Michigan.
Well, I understand in the state of Michigan, if they're like the if they're like the federal government, that means they are going to collect 99 cents, keep 70 cents for the state of Michigan, and they'll have maybe 20 cents left over to actually help the poor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen study by I don't remember Rand Institute a couple of years ago, where they calculated that for every dollar collected by the federal government to supposedly help the poor or women or children or blacks or some specific group, for every dollar collected, only 20 cents reached the intended beneficiary, and 80 cents out of every dollar was consumed by government and government-approved middlemen. Well, go ahead and see if you can run a charity on that basis. I'll start a charity here to help the albino Eskimos. And those of you who want to send contributions to help the albino Eskimos, and it's tough being an albino Eskimo, I'm going to collect that money. I'm going to keep 80 cents for myself, and I'll see that 20 cents gets to the Eskimos. That's a good formula for going to jail. But government does it, and it's presumed to be sensible economic and political policy.
Well, a lot of your charity groups do the same thing. Very few of it really gets filtered down to the folks. That's why I always prefer to give locally to the Salvation Armies. I know more of those funds do go directly to people who really need the help. But if the energy companies are allowed to opt out, why can't the people opt out? And a lot of folks say, well, gosh, Melody, it's only 99 cents. Yes, it's only 99 cents.
99 cents a month. $12 a year is what we're talking about. It isn't that big
but
a sum, but who's going to get it?
Yeah.
We're talking about several million people who are going to be paying $12 a year. I don't know what the population of Michigan is, but we're going to take, let's take a guess and say it's 15 million. I don't know if that's true or false. Say 10 million. Then the math will be easy enough where maybe even I can do it. 10 million people on energy, taking energy from Michigan, each one paying $12 a year, you're talking, what, $120 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a lot of congressmen and senators for that amount of money.
That's a lot of power.
It's just another one of these things. But, you know, I can understand the rationale behind it. I can even understand there are poor people that need help on this. But the next question is, why do we have so many poor people who have to have help? And the answer is because the government has so mismanaged the economy of the nation or the state of Michigan that they're in deep trouble. Got that problem with Detroit. How are they going to get around that? It's been grossly mismanaged, and somebody's got to pay for it, or they have to admit nobody's going to pay for it. Nobody pays for it, then what? Shut down the power, shut down the lights?
Well, I can't believe that these energy companies aren't making enough money in order to help the people themselves. What, don't they ever donate back into to their local communities? Don't they ever give anything back to their local communities? What I hate about it is not the 99. I hate being forced to donate. I hate being forced to do something. And, anyway.
You don't have to be forced to be smart.
I like giving. I give a lot.
You don't have to be forced to charge a fair price for services and utilities. That kind of force would be wrong, but we will and we can force the dummies, the chumps, the taxpayers to pay more to support the inept, the incompetent, the malfeasant. No. Just like real life, I guess, isn't it?
Do you want to get into the debt ceiling prior to the
we can
break
touch
here?
On it. It's just a brief comment. Here's Treasury's Lou. He is the Treasury Secretary Jack Lew. The headline from the Associated Press is Treasury Secretary Lew: Congress needs to pass debt limit. Remember that, folks? We went through the big debt limit battle back in 2011, about 2 years ago. We had to do something about the debt limit. Because if we didn't raise the limit, the government wouldn't be able to go deeper into debt. And if it couldn't go deeper into debt, then the whole system might collapse. Well, here's, again, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew. He was interviewed on Sunday. And he says, Congress needs to raise the debt limit and take away clouds of uncertainty about the nation's ability to pay its bills. See, that's all they have to do. He has raised the debt limit, and then the clouds of uncertainty. The world will say, oh, my gosh, the government is solvent. We thought they were bankrupt, but no, they've raised the debt limit. That's like me saying that I'm going to change the limit on my checks or my Visa card. I'm going to raise my Visa card to $50,000 from $25,000, and that will prove that I'm solvent, and no one need to worry about me paying the bills anymore. In any case, the fight over the debt limit in 2011 hurt the economy, even though in the end we saw an extension of the debt limit. We saw confidence fall, and that hurt the economy. This, according to Lew on NBC Meet the Press. Now, the point is, again, they want to prevent the possibility of a government shutdown. Oh, wouldn't that be awful? Just think of it. It makes me feel like Brer Rabbit. Please, whatever you do, don't shut down the government, for God's sake. You know, we'll pay anything to preserve the government. Don't throw me in the briar patch. What's it all mean? They are advocating that somebody do something in Congress before we get to the very end of the line, which is in September of this year. What's the chances that they'll do anything before September of this year, Melody? Let's call Las Vegas and what's the line? What's the line on government doing something about the debt limit before, you know, we reach September 30th? September 29th. Maybe the 30th we'll do something about the debt limit. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Be back in just a moment. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And now, Melody, it's your turn to tell folks what you've got for special today.
We're going to continue this since we're the we got 3 more days of trading for this month. We're going to continue with with every gold order, you will receive a free silver eagle. So every gold trade that you do, you will receive a silver eagle. So all they have to do is give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and of course you can listen to the archives of the program. We do have a question coming in, Al. It was more of a comment from Murray. He noticed that Hillary Clinton visited the White House today, and he wants to know where we're all going to be moving when she gets crowned in 2016.
I don't know that she's going to be crowned in 2016.
So,
it's an interesting argument, and I know she'd like to take a shot at it. At least I believe that's probably true. But by 2016, she's going to be, I think she's going to be 70 years old. Right about that, 70, maybe 71, 69, I'm not sure. But 70 years old, basically. I don't know. I'm not sure that we're going to re-elect a 70-year-old man or woman to the White House. We've done it before. Reagan, you know, he got through that, but I don't think many people are going to pull that off.
But you know what, Al? I agree with you. But look, I mean, look at Obama. I mean, they didn't vote for him. They voted for what he was, not who he was. And I think they could very well do the same thing for Hillary. They would vote because it's Hillary, not for what she's done or you know, any credibility, it's because it's Hillary. That would be the...
No, I get that. I understand that people, they, you know, I saw a video that I posted on my blog about someone, it was a joke. And the guy is, man is out there taking a survey of people walking around on the California, I don't know, boardwalk someplace or another. And he's asking people if they would sign the petition in favor of euthanasia for senior citizens in order to cut health care costs. And he found 8 or 10 people who were just happy to sign the document. Oh, yeah, yeah, it makes perfect sense. These people are idiots. They may not have fully understood what they were doing, but it's scary to see how stupid some people can be. These are the kind of people that have to scare politicians because they'll support you today and abandon you or any principles tomorrow. Easily led, hard to control. I don't know. It is disturbing, and these people vote, for God's sake. So what do the politicians do, Melody? I mean, you have Obama. They'll vote for Obama because he's black. That's all. All right, and I get that. I understand that happens. There's plenty of people who vote for somebody because they're white or because they're a woman or because they're a man. We all carry certain prejudices and biases. They're part of our, they're part of the way we think. But somebody's got to make an effort to overcome those biases and actually say, look, I don't care what this candidate is. He's male, female, black, white, whatever. What kind of ideas does this candidate genuinely espouse? Can we expect him to be honest? Can we expect him to stand by his principles if he gets into public office? Or can we expect him to be like George Bush Sr., who made his comment, read my lips, no new taxes, when running against Michael Dukakis back in 1988? And Bush swore up and down, no new taxes, read my lips. And everybody, yay, yay, vote for Bush. And Dukakis, he said, no, we're going to have to raise taxes. And within 6 months after the election, Bush was raising taxes. He said, oh, I've thought about it again. And, you know, we get too many of these idiots somewhere along the line. I think some of these people should be sued for false advertising. I think when someone comes out and they run a campaign and they tell everybody what you want to hear, and then they get into office and do as they damn please, I think there should be a wave of suing them for false advertising. Suing them or suing their political campaign, whoever was managing their political campaign. There's something wrong here where we are entitled. If you're going to elect a man like Obama, he said you're going to have the most open government we've ever had in this country. Bunk. It's a damnable lie. Huh? Somebody should be held liable for that. And it apparently doesn't bother people enough that they wouldn't reelect him a second time. So maybe there should be a way of suing these candidates. Wouldn't that make for an interesting political system? If you could sue a candidate who told you stories to get your vote and then violated those stories. That'd change the political spectrum a little bit in this country.
Certainly. I watched a video today of Palin, and she was talking about how they were not allowed to talk, which to me is like, why would you come out and say it now? Because it shows the type of person that she is. They were told not to talk about issues. They were told not to talk about certain things about Obama, mm-hmm. and that it would hurt their chances. That's
a bunch of crap.
I don't think it hurt.
She may have been sufficiently naive to believe that, all right? She'd been governor of Alaska and the rest of that, but she wasn't coming from a huge political background, and she had to be a little bit dazzled by the possibility of being vice president of the United States. So it's one of those things where she would be tempted to go along even if she was not inclined or she didn't understand. She's going to accede to the experts, all right? And hope that they're not just a bunch of liars and con artists. But one of the most amazing things about the election in, 2008?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the information that Obama probably wasn't a citizen of the United States was discovered by an attorney that was closely associated with the Clintons. It was made available before the Democrats ever nominated their candidates, but Hillary Clinton didn't use that information. And I doubt there's ever been anyone who wanted to be president more than Hillary Clinton. And it's the kind of thing that could have torpedoed Obama's candidacy, the nomination at the Democratic convention, and again through the with all the primaries and so on. Obama could have lost the nomination if Hillary and Bill had brought up the subject. Guess what? This guy's probably not even born in this country. They didn't say anything. That means somebody's pulling strings that were sufficiently powerful to keep Hillary from, make her shut up and lose the nomination. All right. One thing for the Democrats. But then that information was available to McCain and Palin. The Republicans did nothing about this information. So far as I know, there wasn't even a Republican political action committee that promoted the idea that the Democrat nominee was not an American citizen. Now, I'm not arguing whether he was or was not an American citizen, but absolutely credible information was available to raise that issue, and neither the Democrats, Hillary Clinton, nor the Republicans, McCain and Palin, neither one of them raised the issue. And now we may have a president who's produced a birth certificate that turned out to be an obvious phony, right? And he's sitting in the White House, and he may not even be eligible to be president. And nobody seems to care in the government. What do you make of that, Melody?
Not only the government, Al, but everyone. The citizens that don't care. The media that doesn't care.
Yeah.
That doesn't even want to. I mean, we saw an attempt by Donald Trump, but...
You know, we've seen a handful of people, and there are people that are out there that are the birther movement, the people that are trying to expose the fraud, what they claim to be a fraud by Obama. And I'm inclined to think they're right, if only because Obama has never adequately addressed the issue. You know, if somebody wants to sit back and say Alfred Adask is not a citizen of the United States, I guarantee it'll take me anywhere from 10 minutes to half hour tops to produce a birth certificate and expired passports and so on. I can prove my citizenship to the country of my birth. I can prove that, and without much trouble. And that would be true for almost everyone, and yet Obama doesn't do it. What do you make from that? What can you make from it other than it appears that Obama is legitimately not born in this country? Not because of people who accuse him of being a foreign national, but because of Obama's own conduct supports that argument.
Let's go on and talk about Edward Snowden.
All right, let's do Snowden. Yeah.
Snowden?
Yeah, this is an article from the English Mail, which is a English publication, of course. Edward Snowden is not the story. The fate of the Internet is. This is from the article, and it offers a very nice insight. And it says in part, repeat after me, Edward Snowden is not the story. The story is what he has revealed about the hidden wiring of our networked world. And I think that's a wonderful insight. It's something we've lost track of. We say, oh my gosh, what's happened to Edward Snowden? He's trapped in the airport of the Soviet Union. Maybe he gets a passport. Maybe he doesn't get a passport. Maybe the Russians are going to take him in. Maybe they're not. Where is he going for political asylum? We've got the perils of Pauline that we are focusing on right now. Except in this case, it's the perils of Edward Snowden. And in the process, we've been so diverted by this human interest story that we have neglected to pursue the real story, which is what's happening at the National Security Agency. And the article says, without Snowden, we would not know that the National Security Agency has been able to access the emails, Facebook accounts, and videos of citizens around the world, or how it had secretly acquired the phone records of millions of Americans, or how, through a secret court, it has been able to bend 9 U.S. Internet companies to its demand for access to their users' data. There's a story. Snowden's got a problem, but this is a story. And we've lost track of that while we are focusing on the peril, on the plight of Edward Snowden. Without Snowden, we would not be debating whether the U.S. government should have turned surveillance into a huge privatized business, offering data mining contracts to private contractors such as Booz Allen Hamilton, and in the process, high-level security clearance to thousands of people who shouldn't have it. All right? We've been fed a constant stream of journalistic pap speculation about Snowden's travel plans, asylum requests, state of mind, physical appearance. The human interest angle has trumped the real story, which is what the NSA revelations tell us about how our networked world actually works and the direction in which it's heading. And they're pointing out the number of consequences. First, the days of the Internet as a truly global network are numbered. They want, governments are now seeing how dangerous the Internet can be to certainly world government, new world order. They want to break it down where there's one Internet for China and another Internet for Russia and one for the United States and one. And they want to minimize the interaction and try to regain control of international news. All right, we're only a handful of major news suppliers, news media. They'll have access and they'll be able to tell us what's going on in Russia and Germany and Uganda and so on. But we'll have perhaps less of that over the Internet where we can access it directly. Second point, the issue of Internet governance is about to become very contentious. The idea that the Western powers can be allowed to continue to control the Internet has become untenable because the Western powers are spying all over the Internet. So who's going to run the Internet? Huh? We're going to see a breakdown where China is at least going to claim to run the Chinese Internet and Russia will claim to run the Russian Internet and so on. And the United States may run the U.S. Internet. But as a global entity, it's going to be threatened, or at least that's the pretension, that's the position of this article. Third, the Obama administration's Internet agenda, Internet freedom agenda, has been exposed as patronizing cant. Cant means crap. That's an English word for crapola. All right? And I'm just saying, look, Obama saying he's got an Internet freedom agenda, it's a bunch of lies. The people who are claiming to be fighting for your freedoms and protecting your freedoms are exactly the ones that are spying on you. They don't trust you as far as they can throw you, and they are the ones who ultimately are threatening your freedoms and mine. Well, I just thought that the article was insightful because I'd lost track of it. I'd lost track of the story myself, and I was focusing on Edward Snowden and, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen to him, and that was foolishness. I shouldn't have done that, and neither should you. You should be watching what are the real implications of the Snowden story, and it's not what's happened to Edward Snowden. It's what's happened, what are the implications of the information that he's released, what are the implications of information that he may still hold and hasn't released yet. So don't be blinded by the human interest story. Get down to what this stuff really counts for. And it's an important insight. It's important for everyone, me, Melody, and all of you folks in the audience. Pay attention to the real story. Don't be blinded by these human interest nonsense. We're going to take a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Got an article here on Egypt. Egypt warns sit-ins as weekend death toll climbs. We've been talking about Egypt since the Arab Spring, 2011, and pointing out, you don't have to be a genius to see this, but we were pointing it out early on, 2011. Egypt has problems that are basically insurmountable. I don't think they're going to get past them. I don't think they're going to get past them under any circumstances with any government without some sort of serious bloodshed, civil war, police state, something. They can't hold that country together without great brute force, in my opinion. And we've seen, you know, evidence of this already, but here's more. Escalating the confrontation after clashes that left 83 supporters of Egypt's ousted Islamic president dead, the interim government moved Sunday toward dismantling two pro-Mohamed Morsi sit-in camps, accusing protesters of terrorism and vowing to deal with them decisively. As you should know, the current government of Egypt is essentially the Egyptian military. They have seized power. They have deposed the democratically elected Mohamed Morsi. He was able to hold office for a whole year after he'd been elected, and I think it was right down to the day. 1 year after the election, they overthrew him. And now some people are complaining, and the government, which is to say the military, has shot 83 of them so far. We'll see where this is going to go, but it just interested me to see that here we have the military that's taken a coup, and they're claiming that anyone who supports Morsi, protesters, they're trying to get the democratically elected president back in. Anyone who votes, anyone who acts on behalf of former President Morsi, they're accusing them of terrorism. Huh? And we get a dose of that in this country, too. And what terrorism has come to mean is anyone who criticizes or works against the powers of an existing government. It's not dissidents anymore. It's not even a right of political free speech. It is increasingly denounced as terrorism around the world when anyone stands up to resist the force of what is often an illegal government. Egypt has just, the Egyptian military has just overthrown the government of Egypt, and they are claiming that anybody who criticizes them for doing so is a terrorist. Our own government has shown indications of moving in the same direction. And all I want to point out that today, what terrorism means when a government says, oh, those are terrorists, what it typically means is whoever they accuse of being terrorists are people who are working against the fascists. And the fascists are, in my estimation, not even ideological. They're just a bunch of crooks who seized control of a government apparatus. And anyone who tries to oust the fascists or resist the fascists are labeled terrorists. And so I hope some of you will remember that, because you'll see it in this country as well as Egypt. We're not in as bad a condition as Egypt, but the day may come where we will still see similar political unrest. What do you think, Melody? Is the day going to come? Are we going to see the political unrest in this country that they have in Egypt? Do you think that's possible, or is that an exaggerated opinion?
I think you're going to see unrest, but I don't believe it will be initially from political distress. I think you're going to have more of a social distress. I believe they've been able to calm the folks. And certainly you might have pockets of, distress or whatever you might want to call it. But no,
hot pockets. We would call those hot pockets.
No,
yes.
I really don't.
Of distress.
I really don't.
Call them hot pockets. No, I don't think we're going to go as bad as Egypt. I don't anticipate that, but there's plenty of conspiracy theories around that suggest that might be possible and it might be likely to happen. And
I don't because
who knows?
No, I don't, because I can't call it political, because I just don't believe. I believe the people are too fat and happy.
I agree with that. What in other words, we won't see riots.
No.
Or political instability based on political ideals.
And I think we're moving into a time where people are getting comfortable with the type of socialism that is becoming part of the norm, as long as the government can pay for it.
Yeah,
and
of course, that's
one of the we go to Europe, we go to Greece, and we see people today. I think, who cares if some people lose some of their money, as long as I still get to eat, or as long as I am not that disturbed by it, I'll just.
As long as they're not taking my money.
Yeah.
You folks in government, help yourself. You can rob everybody else. Just let me keep mine.
Yeah.
And this is the way people tend to think. And they tend to think, if I just keep my mouth shut, see, if I don't say anything, they may rob the people across the street, but they'll leave me alone. And all I'm saying is, you keep your mouth shut, and they're going to rob the people across the street first. But if you've got anything, you're on the list. And it doesn't matter whether you are yelling and screaming or whether you are maintaining your silence and trying to keep a low profile. Day is coming. Somebody's knocking on the door and say, we'd like to borrow a cup of cash. All right, got it? If not, we're going to have to search your house. Look to see. Tear up your mattress and see where you've got the cash hidden.
The disturbing part is we're losing so much more. And,
oh, I know.
That certainly is not, and will probably never be recognized, but except to a few.
No, it's a, and I was talking about this to some other people lately. It is frustrating. I've been involved in this for 30 years, trying to understand the government, trying to understand how the system actually functions, try to learn how to communicate whatever I've learned something about the government, what I think is true. Maybe it is, maybe it's mistaken, but I learned something I think is true. Then you have to learn, it's not enough just to learn it for yourself. You have to learn how to communicate it to other people where they can understand and they can say, oh, wait a second, yeah, I think maybe that's true. I've seen something like that. That seems to be true to me. And it's no small thing to learn how to communicate these ideas, and I do it, you know, I do it fairly well, I like to think, but certainly not perfectly. I guarantee I'm always working and thinking about how to do a better job of communicating these ideas. But one of the things that disturbs me, and it has for a number of years, it is first the belief that we may be in or approaching end times. Point one, I think we are. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. I think we are. But if we are, it may explain why it's so hard to communicate some of these ideas and insights and values and make people understand this is important. Only a handful of people, relatively small group of people, get it. And I have a hard time believing that the presentations made by myself and hundreds of other people, if not thousands, that are trying to get the same ideas across, I don't believe that our presentations are so bad that people can't understand under normal circumstances. It's as if the good Lord has simply put a veil over their eyes or something in their ears. They just don't see. They just don't understand. And it's not because the information isn't available. It's all over. But trying to get people to take it seriously, very difficult. You know, we hear it, we know about it, but what do we do about it? And we have to act. We have to do something, or the knowledge doesn't count for all that much. It's important to understand the moral foundation for resisting a tyrannical government. That's absolutely important, to get that information and understand those, the dangers of a government that is perhaps grown too large. You have to lay that moral foundation for any subsequent action. But information all by itself without action? Not very effective. You also have, there has to be some sort of action taken, and that's not just...
Well, I believe, like yourself, no.
But people in the audience, you got to stand up, you got to go to meetings, you got to, you know, get a sign, stand out in front of City Hall or the state legislature, or march on Washington, D.C. Show some demonstration that you get it and that it's important to you.
No, I believe education, I mean, I agree with you, Al, but I think now... I believe trying to help people understand is the main bulk of everything right now. Because nothing else will happen unless you have that education.
I get you, but what I'm trying to communicate is the idea that some people seem unable to get that education. Try as I might, and now for 30 years, try as I might to understand, to communicate. It seems to me that the failure is not simply mine. I mean, I don't doubt I could do a better job, and I'm not trying to exonerate myself, but it's as if you're talking to people who lack eyes to see and ears to hear. They can't get the message, and at times I wonder if it's a good Lord just saying, go ahead and try to communicate it.
But I think you're also, because I can't tell you, and perhaps because you're not on one-to-one with the listeners that we have, I hear all the time how programs, and sometimes you could be talking about something for weeks and one word will be said or one little phrase and all of a sudden, yeah, I get it.
Somebody gets it.
Somebody gets it. So no,
I get that.
It's important. It happens. We don't, and you're not there to get the immediate feedback, and it takes a long, it's a process.
And what you mean is you're getting the feedback from customers.
I get feedback.
When they place orders.
Absolutely. I can't tell you. I've been listening to you folks for years. I've been listening to you folks for years and years. And so it's very important. These programs like this. And yes, I do know a lot of sensationalism is used in a lot of other programs. And a lot of that sensationalism I don't use here. I think you agree, Al, you're not a one to use that sensationalism to bring to the programs, but other programs do. And that does also help open people's eyes. That's okay, but just keep it in, you know, keep the fear factor out. But
well, it's just one of those things, and it doesn't, the idea that some people, many people are currently prevented by the good Lord from really grasping these ideas. I'm not saying that's God's truth. I'm just saying the opinion has crossed my mind, and I can't help but wonder about it. What do we got left, Melody?
Got another question. Well, we got a quick question here. I don't know how quick it's going to be. According to Depka Files, 3 months after winning the strategic town of Al-Khaizar, the combined Syrian and Hezbollah armies have captured the historic Muslim Brotherhood city of Homs. The fall of Homs, with the rebels designated from the start of the uprising capital of the revolution, opens the way for Syrian Hezbollah forces to move north to Aleppo, Syria's largest city. Does this action instigate U.S.-Israeli reaction by putting up a no-fly zone?
I don't know. Who can say? You know, Israel has already flown into Syria and bombed them off, at least in some small, relatively small instances. I think they're content to watch the armies, the two opposing sides, kind of chew each other up. As long as no one installs any serious threat to Israel, it's kind of a war of attrition, and just let them kill each other. That's all. Kill each other right now, and when they grind them down and when there aren't hardly anybody left, then who knows? Might not be necessary to bomb them, but as long as they're killing themselves, I expect that Israel and the United States will be content to allow that to continue. No-fly zone later, perhaps when they stop killing themselves and start threatening to move outward. Then we might see a no-fly zone, but I don't expect to see it soon, but I wouldn't be surprised if we did. It's just impossible. The whole thing is too unstable. You know, who knows? It's like the stock market. It's like the price of gold. We're not just dealing with actions and reactions. We're dealing with manipulation. And what will be the truth? Well, yeah, it depends on who the manipulator of the day is. And whoever today's manipulator is, he's the guy who will determine the truth, today's truth. But I guess the one truth that is certain is that we're out of time, Melody. And we got to say bye-bye to the folks, and
bye-bye.
Glad you were listening, and we will be back mañana. In the meantime, or I guess I'll be on with Roger tomorrow, isn't it right? Yeah. All right. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.